It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions.
18+. Are you looking to make a podcast? Well, if you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. First off, it's free. Nothing is better than free. Am I right? Anchor provides creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more services. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, which is very refreshing for very fresh, new podcasts looking to get their start. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Welcome back to the swamp, my friends. Today we're going to be looking into some creepy and unexplainable stories sent in by viewers just like you. If you have a story that you would like to share in a future video, whether it's an unexplained experience or something else, be sure to submit your story at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I'd love to share your story with everyone here in the swamp, and it's stories like yours that help keep this show going. Now, without further hesitation, hit that like button, subscribe if you're new, and sit back, get real comfortable, and prepare for some spooky and unexplainable stories. I've never been a big believer of ghosts and the paranormal, but what happened to me at my parents' new house has made me a believer. My parents are retired and decided to move to Brookings, Oregon. Brookings is a beautiful coastal city in southern Oregon that gives my parents the best of both worlds, the woods and the beach. My father wasn't feeling well, so my mother asked me to spend the weekend with them to see the new house and to help her with my father. For the most part, nothing happened that was out of the ordinary. This all changed my last night there. It was pretty late and I was getting my things together, because I was leaving the next afternoon. It was around 1 a.m. and well past my parents' bedtime, so I decided to call it a night. I was staying at the guest room, which is towards the back of the house next to the kitchen. I just got into bed and was closing my eyes when I started to hear footsteps in the kitchen. At first, I didn't think much of it, because my mother had a tendency of getting a late night snack. Things started to get weird when I started to hear the footsteps coming toward the door of my room. I could see that someone was standing next to the door because of the kitchen lights. Thinking it was my mother checking to see if I needed anything, I sat up. I waited, but there was no knock. Before I could say anything, I could see the shadow of the feet move away from the door and heard them walking back toward the kitchen. So I just lay back down on the bed. I saw the light turn off, so I just relaxed and closed my eyes. Then I heard footsteps moving toward my door again. I opened my eyes and was just anticipating a knock. The footsteps came to the edge of the door, but again, nothing. No knock. Then I started to hear the knob started jiggling slowly back and forth, like if someone was trying to open the door quietly. So I sat up once more thinking it was my mother and said, "Mom, you need anything?" But again there was no response. So I just sat there, trying to listen in on who or what this was, and again the doorknob started to turn slowly. At this moment is when I started to freak out a little bit, so I stood up with a louder voice and said that the door was open if they needed anything. Again, no answer. I tried to calm myself down and thought it was probably my mom sleepwalking, but she never did that before. So I gathered up the courage and opened the door. To my surprise, When I opened the door, there was no one there. I looked around, and nothing. Both my parents are in their 60s, and aren't fast enough to run down the hall without me seeing them. So I decided to quietly walk around the house to see if I could see anyone or anything. I walked towards my parents' room and slowly opened the door and saw both of them were fast asleep. After checking the entire house, I didn't see anything. I decided to just go back to the guest room. Before doing this, though, I stopped in the kitchen to get a cup of water and to clear my head. As I was standing looking out the kitchen window, out of the corner of my eye, I could see what seemed to be a person move past the door and into the guest room. I stood there frozen and completely freaking out. I ran to the guest room, turned on the light, and again, no one was there. I was so creeped out that I didn't want to sleep in that room, so I just stayed in the family room. The next morning, my parents woke up as early as they could and woke me up. They were confused as to why I was sleeping there, but I told them what I experienced. They weren't as much shocked as I was, because they said they had never heard or seen anything like that before. To this day, I haven't experienced anything like that, but I do admit that this experience completely scared me. I wasn't a believer before this experience, but this made me a believer in the paranormal. I'm a 33-year-old male who currently lives in Austin. When I was 21 years old, I became a member of a Christian church in Killeen, Texas, due to my stepfather being stationed in Fort Hood. I've always felt sensitive to the supernatural, but when my conversion came, I noticed darker spirits or demons. One night, I stayed awake to watch television. My family was asleep and then my girlfriend did not come over, so I was bored. Around 3 o'clock in the morning, I became sleepy and decided to call it a night. I went through my usual ritual of praying before bed. Now, I will give you a quick layout of my mother's house. When you first enter through the front door, you have to walk through a long foyer. And the first room, you see, is the living room, which will also lead to the kitchen. Once you're out of the foyer area, you can turn right and go down a hallway that leads to the bedrooms. The living room is decorated like most, furnished with pictures, coffee tables, couches, you know, etc., etc. My mother had a grandfather clock for decoration, which was broken. The only purpose it served was to add character. As I decided to go to bed, I figured I could pray in the living room and then head to my room. I left the television on for light but muted it. As I began to pray, I felt like there was another presence in the room with me, but I paid no mind. Suddenly, I heard the clock start to tick, but I was so wrapped up in prayer that it did not bother me. That was about to change. The ticking noise began to grow louder and louder. And that's when it dawned on me that the clock was broken, and there's no way it should be making any noise. I was set on finishing my prayer, but my concentration was already broken. So I stopped and got up and tried to look at the clock to see if the hands were moving, but I could not because the light of the television was not enough. I cut on the light in the kitchen, but to no avail, because the kitchen light was not close enough, I could not see. I could still hear the ticking noise growing louder in my head, and the house felt as though the temperature was dropping, and this was in the middle of a Texas summer. Now, I had enough, and began to grow frustrated, so I walk across the living room to cut on the light. The light switch is right there where the foyer ends, and the hallway to the rest of the house begins. When I reached the light switch, I felt like someone was watching me from down the hallway, and I turned my head to look, and what I saw made my hair stand up on all ends. I saw a very large, dark figure standing down from the hallway, just looking at me. The only description I can give of it is what people claim that shadow people look like. Now, I've watched plenty of horror movies and yelled for the protagonist to run when they freeze and look at the monster instead of running. But now I know what that horror feels like. Everything in my body and mind was telling me to run, scream, do something, but I was frozen from fear. I finally snapped out of it and began to pray, call on Jesus Christ and quote verse 4 from the 23rd Psalm. I cut the light on and the figure was gone. The temperature no longer felt cold and that awful ticking noise was gone. This was not my last time seeing something demonic or paranormal. Thank you for reading my story, and remember that prayer helps. I live in Nevada, and also grew up here. I've had the same best friend since elementary school. When I was a sophomore in high school, five of my friends were in a horrible drunk driving accident. Two of them lived, and sadly, the other three passed away. One of the boys who passed, I'll call him T, was my neighbor, as well as my good friend. After he died, we used to call his cell phone just to hear his voice on the answering machine. His parents ended up disconnecting his cell phone after a few weeks. This story takes place a few months after T died. His phone had been disconnected for about 2 months. I was at a friend's house when my phone rang. Unbelievably, it was T. I answered the phone and stuttered out a hello. There was no answer, just a weird sort of static. That night, I fell asleep pretty late. I have to preface this part of the story by telling you I have bouts of sleep paralysis. Sometimes it happens, like, a few times a month, while at other times I can go like a year without it ever happening. This night was nothing like that. It was too real. I fell asleep and began having the most vivid dream I have ever had. In my dream, I was laying in my bed, wearing the exact thing I fell asleep in. I looked over toward my closet, and this thing started coming toward me. It was the shape of a person, but filled in with black and white. Sort of how the TV looks after a VHS ends. It's that black and white static looking stuff. Anyway, the being was coming toward me. It's hard to explain, but somehow in my mind, I knew this was T. You know what I mean. In dreams, sometimes people look different, but you just know it's them. So T is coming toward me, and he starts screaming, "Help me, help me, I'm dying. Why won't you help me? Please, save me, I'm dying." As he's yelling at me, he's also grabbing me, because his body is being pulled back into my dark closet by some invisible force. I'm trying to hold on to him so he doesn't slip away while yelling, "T, how do I help you? I don't know how to save you." He finally gets pulled back into my dark closet and disappears. The next thing I know, I'm awake in my bed, but I had no real memory of waking up. It was like I had experienced this thing for real and not just in a dream. But then, it just slowly turned into real life. Maybe it was sleep paralysis. It felt real. How sleep paralysis does sometimes, but normally when I wake up from sleep paralysis, I remember having it. This experience wasn't like that at all. I also couldn't move during sleep paralysis, but I could move in this experience. I look back on the phone call from T and the following nighttime meeting as maybe him trying to contact me. T and the other two boys' deaths were extremely violent. It started out as a night spent with good friends drinking and ended up in a mangled, deadly car accident. I've heard that when a person's death is extremely traumatic or violent, they can get stuck on Earth, unable to pass on to the other side. Maybe that's what happened to T, and he decided to pay me a visit. I always regret that he asked me for help and I didn't know how to help him. Has anyone else ever had a dream like this before, and maybe been visited by a spirit? Please let me know in the comments, and thank you for sharing my story. Around 6 years ago, I saw something in the sky that I still cannot explain. My roommate and I were hanging outside on the back patio of our apartment with a close friend of mine. At the time, I was still smoking cigarettes, and we were outside for a smoke. The weather had been gloomy that day, so there were several low clouds passing by. As the clouds were passing, I saw a dark shape without any lights fading in and out of the clouds in a stationary position. The object did not move. I brought this to the attention of my roommate and friend. I remember we all kept quiet and just whispering to each other, "What is that?" We continued staring at this round, almost egg-like shape. It remained motionless in the sky for quite a bit. It was quite low, but not close enough to see any sort of detail. I thought maybe it was a drone, but there was no sound coming from the object and it sat completely still. After several more minutes, a larger cloud passed in front of the object, and by the time the cloud passed, it had seemingly disappeared into the clouds. I've never made up my mind on what it could have been, but I do know this. I've never seen anything like it before or since. My name is Adrian, and I also have true experiences with what I am certain in my own mind to be paranormal, regardless of how crazy it seems to others. I grew up in an old home that really did look haunted from the outside. I was sleeping one night in my room and woke up feeling scared, and then I saw appearing literally out of nowhere a glowing king and queen. I say king and queen because of the clothing style, and the man was sitting on what appeared to be a throne, and his queen was to his left, or my right. I later learned that it was the correct way for a king and queen to present themselves. They were speaking, but I didn't understand them, either because of my age or maybe they were speaking another language. I did something weird then. I got up out of bed, walked towards the king and queen, and placed my hand out, curious to see if I could put my hands through them, and they disappeared. This scared me, and I ran out of my room to my parents' room to sleep there. Another time, something almost equally odd happened, but less on the paranormal side. I had started sleeping in my parents' room for fear of my own room, and one day I woke up in my parents' room. As usual, my parents were watching TV. It was talking about war. I went downstairs to the kitchen, and when I walked in, there were some robed men that looked like Middle Eastern style. I didn't know about Islam or the Middle East, but I do remember the appearance of the robed men. These were not glowing. These men were solid. For some reason, when I walked in, one of them actually picked me up, walked me to the door of the kitchen, and dropped me out of his hands. I ran upstairs trying to explain what I saw, but perhaps I was too young to speak up in a clear tongue because I don't think anybody took me seriously. One night I walked upstairs from the living room to go to my room, and while I was up there crossing the bathroom, I noticed the bathroom door was open and inside the sink was on. Then the sink handle pulled and it turned off. This scared me, so I ran to my bedroom. I stopped at the door and I saw in typical poltergeist fashion, drawers opening and closing with no hands touching them. Anyway, what I saw scared me and I ran back the way I came downstairs. That night, I believe I slept on the sofa. Now, I also had nightmares that I believed to have been demonic. The strange occurrences did stop at some point in the home, but the nightmares continued on. I spoke to my father, who is from Europe, about the king and queen experience, and he said he also saw them. Not just in my bedroom, but throughout his life since his childhood, and that they would follow him. He unfortunately is afraid to be called crazy, so he doesn't talk about it except to those with experiences or that are open-minded. How can science progress if people keep silent about their so-called crazy experiences for fear of what we'll say? I personally have felt anger towards that kind of skeptic that call me a liar. I've never shared this with a YouTuber before, but I have verbally shared this with people. I had to accept the fact that I saw something that many do not realize even exists. My father also has experiences with the Ouija board, where he was playing it with friends when the board predicted one of them would die, and that very same day, one of the people that my dad knows apparently died. I believe, however, that despite this experience of his, the Ouija board can be safely used if you pray for protection before using it. I was taught in my studying of the psychic sciences that praying for protection is the correct way to start. I believe that it is now time to share my experience with the public at large, so I am sending it in here. And thank you for sharing my story. This all started exactly 10 years ago. It was mid-July of 2009, and at the time I am typing this, it is mid-July of 2019. As a child, I was paranoid of ghosts like most kids. I could describe many paranormal encounters from before this time, but all of them can easily be discarded as the overactive mind of a creative girl with ADHD. I never got below an A in writing class, and on many occasions had teachers hang on to my creative writing pieces for teaching material, examples for future students, etc. I've twice had teachers take my poetry and publish them in books. I'm saying this so you know that what I'm telling you, what I've been experiencing, goes way beyond what I could possibly imagine. The only explanation would be some seriously coincidental hallucinations. Some instances may actually have been. I experience hallucinations because of my migraines. I admit all of this, but none of that can explain the full of this. Disclaimers out of the way, let's head to the summer break of 2009. I was 13 years old at the time, staying with my mother for the summer holiday in Monroe, Washington. For the record, my parents were divorced and my father, who had custody of me, lived 200 miles away. This night I had gotten into a fight with my brother, so I stormed off to my bed and cried. I shared a room with my mother, which is important later. She stayed up and continued watching TV with my brother. So I was alone in this pitch black room, my canopy bed's curtains drawn closed except the one on the side of the window, which my bed was snuggled up against. Out of courtesy, my family turned the TV volume down, so everything was silent. Or so should have been. Someone was breathing outside my window. Loud. Now, we are in the middle of nowhere, deep into the forest, and at least 2 miles from the town. A mile from the nearest neighbor. There should not have been anyone there. These windows were very thick, designed for the cold and rainy weather of Western Washington. It should have been impossible to hear someone speaking at a normal volume, even when right up against the glass, let alone hear someone breathing. I was paralyzed in fear, understandably. I could not rationalize what was happening. I was too terrified to even pull the blanket over my head. I knew this was not a human. This could not have been a human I was hearing. I managed to move my eyes and look towards the window. There was no one there. The breathing, that loud and that close, if it were possible that it could be something physical, it should have had its face pressed against the glass. There was nothing. I laid there for over an hour, this thing breathing loudly, rhythmically, next to me until my mother came into the room. The moment her foot was through the threshold, it finally abruptly stopped. Within minutes, I fell asleep, exhausted from the fear. Months later, summer was over, and I was back to school. Back to my normal schedule of traveling 200 miles every Friday to spend a weekend with my mother, then 200 miles back on Sunday. I don't quite remember which trip this took place on. I believe it was in October or November, but it was on one of my weekends with my mother, a repeat of that night in July. I went to my bed early, late in the night, pitch black room, laying against my window, the sudden sound of heavy breathing next to my head, from the other side of the thick glass. No figure was visible, and it disappeared the moment my mother crossed the threshold into our room. Fast forward to winter break, the week before Christmas. Again, I was with my mother, but I did not experience the breathing. Instead, I experienced a horrible feeling almost every night. My mother felt it as well. Dread. Fear. Something was in that house, and at night it was in our room. There was one night in particular, shortly after my mother and I crawled into our beds. A chill, a scalding heat came through my body, like a fever. My mother felt the same sensation. She called to me, "Sarah, I'm scared." My response was, "So am I." I wanted to go to her, climb into her bed. She wanted to do the same, but we were paralyzed. That week, I got into a fight with her. I wanted to be with my dad for Christmas, or rather with my boyfriend for New Year's. It was Christmas Eve, the last day I saw her. It was Christmas, the last day I spoke with her. It was July 5th that she died. Attempted suicide. Attempted reversal. But before either of those pills she took could have done anything, she had a massive heart attack. She was 38 years old. At the time, I hadn't made the connection yet. About a year later, I was sleeping in my father's living room against a window, deep in the Cascade Mountains. Again, there was no one outside the window. Again, it would have been impossible to hear someone breathing, even if there was someone. 2 months later, my aunt died. A year later, outside the window above my head, in my bedroom of my dad's house, I heard a sound that should have been impossible. Breathing. 1 month later, my uncle died. I have lost a handful of pets over the years. For each one, I have heard the breathing around 1 month before their death. There have been a few notable deviant instances, though. One of these was a few years after my family moved into an apartment in Wenatchee, Washington. I had moved my bed to be far away from the window, hoping it would prevent the breathing. As it happened a few times since I'd moved in, and the common denominator was that the source was the window. On the night of January 11, 2017, I heard it. It was incredibly loud, and for the first time, my cat seemed to have heard it too. On my stomach, he perked up his ears and looked at me in confusion. The next day, January 12th of 2017, Gustavo Maldonado Salamanca was shot. So at least I know I'm not crazy and other things can hear it too. I don't know if this is some sort of omen, some sort of sign, I don't know. If anybody knows, please comment down below. And thank you for sharing my story. So when I was around 8 or 9, my brother went on vacation in New Orleans. So, when he came back, he brought a voodoo doll he had bought as a birthday gift since he went a couple of weeks before my birthday. When I got the doll, I was surprised he got something like this, and the doll was freaking creepy. Every time I looked at it, it made me feel uncomfortable. I just felt uncomfortable being around it, to be honest. So I put it in the back of my closet, and after a couple of days of it laying out, I forgot all about it. But I also started having really bad nightmares. Like my family was being burned alive and me getting strangled by the doll. The last straw for me and my family was when I came home after school, and I found the doll had moved from my room to my brother's room, even though everyone left the house when I went to school. When I told my mother, she just went upstairs and grabbed it, took it out in our backyard, and put some lighter fluid on it and lit it up. After burning it, she threw it out, and that's the last time I saw it. Afterwards, my nightmare stopped. One of the weirdest things that have ever happened to me was downright creepy, and I know it's a short story, but I hope you share it anyway. I just want to start off that I've been listening to your channel for a long time and thought it was time to send in a few stories of what have happened to me as a child growing up. I live in a really old house that was built sometime in the 1900s. Being a psychic and having the ability to know that there is a spirit there was never easy. Having those abilities got me in trouble throughout the years. The story I'm telling is a weird one. This happened to me when the movie The Exorcism of Emily Rose came out. My best friend at the time and I were sitting in my room with the lights off. The hallway light was on, and we had a couple of candles lit. It was not a school night, so we were staying up late watching the movie, and we didn't know what time it was. My friend looked over at me and asked if I saw something walk through the hallway, and I looked at her and said, "No, I didn't. I don't know what you're talking about." I didn't see anything, but as I was saying that to her, I turned ghostly white from what had appeared. I saw a hooded figure shadow walk right past my door, and as soon as that happened, the flames from the candle went to the ceiling and then went out. I turned on my light and looked at the ceiling. There were no marks whatsoever. My friend and I were at a loss for words. We looked at each other, before looking at the clock, realizing that it was time to go to bed. The next day, my friend left, and I was cleaning my house, like I'm supposed to do. That's when we noticed my stepdad at the time left out a neon yellow crowbar in the middle of the walkway. I saw it there and moved it because we had a funny feeling. Later that night, walking through the living room, the crowbar was in the walkway once again. Looking down to make sure I didn't kick it, I noticed it was suddenly gone. Starting to freak out because I had no clue how a neon yellow crowbar would just disappear like that, The craziest thing is that it stayed gone for 2 months, and we searched the whole house and no one could find it, until it reappeared right where it last was in the middle of the driveway again. This was super creepy and really freaked me out.
Thanks for listening to these creepy and downright unexplainable stories. I don't know about you, but if I was stalked by a ghost, I would be very unhappy about that. Cause if that ghost ain't paying rent, he ain't staying in my house, that's for sure. If you have a story that you would like to share in a future video, whether it's a paranormal story or something else, be sure to submit it at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I would love to share your story with everyone here in the swamp. It's stories like yours that help keep this channel going. If you enjoyed these stories, please hit that like button as it helps me out a ton. If you're new to the swamp, why not subscribe and turn on notifications to never miss a new video, as I upload them almost every single day, on all things natural and supernatural. If you're not aware, you can download your favorite Swamp Dweller Scary Stories on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher Radio, and just about every other major podcasting platform you can find. I appreciate you guys sticking with me to the end. And if you made it all the way to the end, today's code word is Silver Turtle. Be sure to comment that down below to let me know that you made it all the way to the end, and to confuse anybody who didn't make it. I love seeing how creative you guys get with those words. Let's see how funny you guys can make it this time. I'll see you guys soon with another creepy video.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.